Tonight in the Gospel, we are turning to John, chapter number 6, John chapter 6. We'll take the reading from the opening verse of the chapter. And so, John chapter 6, let's read from verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. The great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This of a truth that a prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. We'll conclude at verse 27. Let's just pray together. Seek the Lord. Our Father, we come now to the preaching of the gospel. We pray that by your Spirit that thou wilt help. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost. Come, energize and help and give all that is necessary for the going forth of the gospel. Speak into the heart, into the soul. We recognize that we can only but reach the outer ear. It is the Spirit that takes the word and applies it into the heart and soul and mind of the unconverted. Lord, come and do that. Do a work that is thy work in this house tonight, and we will glorify thee for it. Come and save. In that way, be glorified. Come and restore. In that way, be glorified. Come and revive. In that way, be glorified. May this meeting glorify thee. Grant, Lord, thy hand now to be upon us. Help, Lord, this preacher, I pray. We offer prayer in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen and amen. I wonder, have you ever had someone do something for you and you've asked yourself the question, why did they do that? maybe it's a brother or a sister, and they start being nice to you all out of the blue, and already that has the alarm bells ringing in your mind, and then they continue to be helpful to you, maybe help you with your chores, and you eventually you ask yourself or them the question, what do you want? What are you looking? Maybe it's a friend and they offer their services to you, or they maybe call you out of the blue after having not spoken to you for months, maybe even years, and you come away and you ask yourself the question, why? Why were they so generous with their availability with regard to helping me out, or why did they call me out of the blue? We can all be, I would say, suspicious regarding the motives of others, and honestly, at times our suspicions are well-founded. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, we find the Savior being followed by multitudes of men, women, and children. The initial verses within the chapter recount for us the miraculous feeding of 5,000 men beside women and children from an initial supply of food consisting of a mere 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. There was no one in that crowd and that throng that day who went hungry home, for the scriptures inform us that they were all filled in the verse number 12. And so they all returned to their places of residency satisfied. It's now the morning after the night before. And those people who had witnessed and partaken in the miracle are again found seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. What had happened in the aftermath of the miracle was that the Savior had perceived that the people were going to come and to take him by force and to make him his king. But Christ's kingdom was not of this world. Certainly he did not come into the world to overthrow Rome's imperial dominance of the land of Israel. Some of his disciples thought that that's what he came to do. They saw him simply as a political Messiah. But Christ's kingdom was not of this world. And so what had happened, and being aware of their intentions to make him his king, the Savior withdraws himself from the people, and so we are told at the end of the verse number 15 that he departed again into a mountain himself alone. With the new day now dawning and breaking, the people aware that Jesus Christ and his disciples were no longer in the vicinity in which he was the day before, they now come to find the Savior. John 6:24 tells us, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. It is this event that I want to preach upon in the gospel tonight, in a message that I've entitled, Seeking Christ, But Why? Seeking Christ, But Why? From this passage in God's Word, I want to make, first of all, a few comments on the people's commendable quest. The people's commendable quest. At the end of John 6, verse 24, we read that the people who lived on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, they took shipping, they came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Their commendable quest is summed up in those three words, seeking for Jesus. On the surface, these people engaged in a most commendable quest. They did what many in our nation never do in their lives. They sought after the Lord Jesus Christ. Many today do not seek him. Rather, they seek other trivial, lesser things than seeking after the Savior. There are some in our world, and what they're seeking is fame. That's all they seek for in this world. What some people would do for just their 15 minutes of fame in this world. And yet fame isn't all that it's made out to be. Harrison Ford, I'm sure you've heard that name, an American actor. He did an interview in 2010, and in that interview he said these words, "You always think if I'm successful, then I'll have opportunities. You never figure out the cost of fame will be a total loss of privacy. That's incalculable," he said. "What a burden that is for anyone. It was unanticipated, and I never enjoyed it. You can get a table at a restaurant, it gets you a doctor's appointment, but what's that worth? He said nothing. Kirsten Stewart is an American actress. I don't know what she's acted in, but she's supposed to be an American actress. In 2015, she gave an interview and she said these words, "Fame is the worst thing in the world. It's pointless," she said. "When people say to me, I want to be famous, I reply, why? Why?" And yet some seek after fame. Some seek after fortune. Some aim high and will not stop at anything less than becoming a millionaire or even a billionaire. Others are not so ambitious. Nevertheless, they seek to accumulate enough wealth to enable them to retire early and to live a very comfortable life during those retirement years. And yet, fortune isn't all that it's made out to be. Dr. Paul Hochmeyer is a clinical psychotherapist. He's worked with high net worth patients across the United States and also in the United Arab Emirates. These are people who are millionaires. Some of them are billionaires. And he has found that many of those millionaire and billionaires, those clients, they suffer from insecurity and also from depression. Abounding in wealth himself, Solomon made this telling comment about fortune. In Proverbs 23 in the verse 5, he said, "Riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." You see, Solomon was all too aware that earth's riches can soon disappear. Financial markets can crash. Economies can slide into recession. Banks can collapse. And all of our net wealth can be wiped out in a moment of time. And yet how many are in the world tonight and they're seeking for fortune. Some seek for fame. Others seek for fortune. Some seek for fun and fantasy. Amusements and pleasures and entertainment are big business these days. Multinational companies plunge billions of pounds worth into launching new products that really transport a person away from the humdrum of life into some kind of fantasy world where they can forget all about their problems. However, the pursuit of fantasy and fun isn't all that it's made out to be. See, fantasy has to give way to reality eventually. And when it does so, we often come down to earth with a bump. And all the fun, all of it, comes to an end someday. The music has to stop. The party has to end. The dance floor has to clear. The ecstasy of winning a trophy is replaced with the disappointment of a trophyless season. Moses knew that the pleasures of sin would only last for a season. And thus he makes a very implicit choice to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to indulge in earth's fleeting pleasures. And yet there are many in this world tonight and that's what they're seeking, fun and fantasy. Living out their fantasies. Living in fun. Some seek inner fulfillment and so a lifetime is given over to finding inner contentment and fulfillment that seems to be so elusive to them. Yoga, meditation, exploring world religions are just some of the methods employed by such individuals who try to seek to find true fulfillment in their lives. And yet, seeking apart from Jesus Christ fulfillment is going to end with great disappointment. The hymn writer said, "None but Christ can satisfy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And yet these people on the surface in John chapter 6 were not seeking these things. They weren't seeking fame. They weren't seeking fortune. They weren't seeking fun and fantasy. They weren't seeking some kind of inner fulfillment. But rather the inspired writer tells us that they were seeking for Jesus. They were seeking for Jesus. It was a commendable activity, a quest. Looking for Christ, searching for Him, looking for the Son of God. Such seeking, sinner, you are encouraged to do by God in the gospel. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You're to seek him early. Boys and girls, you're to seek him. Seek him early in life. Before you go out into the world and before the world gets a hold of you, you're to seek him early. Seek him early when he speaks to your heart, when your heart is tender. For that old heart of yours, it's getting harder, isn't it? You can sit in meetings like this, unperplexed, undisturbed, unconcerned, where once you feared, where once you were troubled, where once you were concerned about your soul, now no longer. The heart has got hard. The heart has got callous. Oh, seek him early. Seek him early in this meeting. Yes, in this meeting. Before we conclude with prayer, seek him now where you sit. Lift your heart to God. Pray that God would save you. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Matthew 7:7, I know their words with regard to prayer, but could we not apply them in the gospel? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. I wonder, is there one in this meeting? One listening in to this service, and tonight you're seeking the Lord. One who has been looking in the world and searching in the world for that which you desire and that which you need. And yet you've hit, as it were, a brick wall. And you've went into dead end after dead end. Well, let me encourage you to seek the Lord until you know that all is well with your soul. Seek him. Seek him earnestly, young person. Seek him exclusively. Seek him emphatically. I seek him expectantly, because there may come a day when you seek him and you'll not find him. Scripture speaks of that. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of God. Proverbs 1:28-29, Luke 13:24-25, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall say unto you, I know not whence ye came. The Lord Jesus said in John 7:34, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, hither ye cannot come. You say, preacher, I intend to seek Christ for salvation someday, but not today. Not tonight, preacher. The world's, it's out there. It's getting hold of my heart, and I'm starting to enjoy my sin, and I'm not feeling as guilty as I once did. And so, preacher, I intend to become a Christian someday, but just not today. As the little hymn says, oh, give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. I'll get saved when I am dying, but not tonight. Is that your attitude? Is that your response to the gospel? Have you ever thought that you might seek him when you'll not be able to find him? It is imperative to seek him, to seek the Lord tonight while he may be found, tonight when he can be found in this gospel meeting, drawing near by his Spirit in his word. You must not only seek him, but you need to find him. Don't just seek him. Make sure you find him. And make sure he finds you. The quest might well have begun, but have you seen it through to its end? Have you found the Savior? Have you found him? You know, I was thinking about that. The seeking and the finding. You know, a thirsty man, you think about a thirsty man, he might seek for a tap, but he needs to find the tap, but he also needs to drink from it if his thirst is ever to be quenched. And a sick woman, well, she needs to seek for medicine in order to alleviate her illness, but she needs to find the medicine, and then she needs to actually consume it and partake of it if she is to know the recovery from her illness. And the seeking sinner might seek the Savior for salvation, but the sinner needs to find him and cast themselves upon him and receive from him his salvation. I say, sinner, you are to lay hold of eternal life. That's the record of Scripture. Desiring it and wishing for it and wanting it is not enough. By faith, you need to lay hold of it. And don't rest until you know you've got it. Eternal life. Don't come up short. Don't just seek him, but seek him until you find him. It was a commendable quest. Seeking for Jesus. Is that you tonight? Are you seeking him? It's commendable. But don't come up short. Moving on from the people's commendable quest, I want you to think secondly about the people's questionable motive. Those who sought the Savior in John 6 found him in a physical sense. Details later on in the chapter inform us that they find him in Capernaum synagogue. When they find the Lord Jesus Christ, they ask him a question, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Now, if you read the record of John 6, you'll find that Jesus Christ doesn't answer their question. Looking beyond their words of flattery and discerning the true state of their hearts, the Savior came to now expose their questionable motive in seeking after him with these words, Verily, verily, he says, I say unto you, verse 26, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. These miracles were affirmations of who God was. They were signs declaring that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't want the miracles, and they certainly did not want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as God. And so he says to them, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were full. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ turned round and said to them, you're seeking me for what you can get out of me. You're seeking me only for what you can get out of me. How many people today seek after Christ with a similar questionable motive as these people sought after the Savior? They seek him for the benefits, and they seek him for the blessings, and they seek him for the byproducts of salvation to the exclusion of Jesus Christ. Give me healing, but not Christ. Give me material prosperity, but not Christ. Give me happiness, but not Christ. Give me peace, but not Christ. Give me satisfaction, but not Christ. Give me fulfillment, but not Christ. Give me contentment, but not Christ. Give me purpose to my life, but not Christ. Give me freedom from my addiction, but not Christ. Give me a restored marriage, but not Christ. The soul that the Spirit of God is working upon, they will say, give me Christ, and I'll give up everything for him. If he gives me nothing, I'll still take Christ. I'll still take Christ. Such people, they only want the benefits of being a child of God, but still remaining a child of the devil. What's your motive in seeking after Christ? Seeking Christ, but why? Is it simply that you want the byproducts of God's redemption, or is it the Redeemer himself you want? Do you want Christ? Do you want him? If you want Christ, then you're going to have to realize that there's his cross. That comes with him. His cross and his reproach and his shame and his dishonor. And his commandments and his law, they all come along with him. And maybe that turns you off Christ. But think of the alternative. to never embrace Him, to never receive Christ, to never trust in Christ, means that you'll die in your sin, and where Christ is, you'll never be. Here in John chapter 6, the people were undoubtedly seeking the Savior. That's what it says there. But why were they seeking Him? That's the question. It's very clear from the words of the Son of God in verse 26 that they were only seeking Him because they wanted their temporal needs to be met, not their spiritual need. They wanted their bellies filled, but not their soul. You're just looking bread, like yesterday. You're not seeking Me. You're not seeking salvation. You're not seeking the life of a disciple. You're not seeking to become a follower of Me. No, you're simply seeking Me for what you can get out of Me. Let me be clear. God will, if it is His will, bring healing. Of course He will. Of course He'll satisfy you. Of course He can restore a marriage. Of course He can do that. But you need to seek Christ because you're a sinner. And He's the only Savior of sinners. That's the only motivation. And if it means that you have to live a miserable life for the rest of your days, so be it, if you've got Christ. Now you'll not. Thank God for that. But give Me Christ. But they didn't want Him. They wanted His bread. Probably was the best bread that they ever ate. It came from the hand of God. And they wanted more of that, but they didn't want Him. They didn't want Him. They were only seeking Him for their temporal needs to be met, not their spiritual needs. And the Savior saw through the facade and the charade, and He rebuked them for their wrong motive in seeking after Him. These people, they may have sought after the Lord Jesus Christ, but they only saw Him, and I say it reverently, they just saw Him as a bread man. We'll get some more bread out of Him. Save us baking it. Save us making it. Save me working for it. He'll give me the bread, and I'll fill my belly with it. That's all they saw Him as. They did not seek Him as their prophet. A prophet who would have instructed them regarding their true state before God. A prophet who would have communicated to them that they were sinners in need of God's salvation. A prophet who would have alerted them to the fact that if they died in their sin where Christ is, they would never be. A prophet who would have told them that repentance from sin and faith alone in Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation. But they sought Him not as a prophet, and they sought Him not as the priest. A priest who was both sacrificer and sacrifice. A priest who by the offering up of himself to God would put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. A priest who by the shedding of his blood would pay the ransom price for sin. A priest who would meet all the requirements and responsibilities of the broken law for all that would trust in Him. But they sought Him not as the priest, and they sought Him not as the king. King who took on sin and death and hell and Satan and conquered each and every one of them. A king who would have ruled and defended them from all their spiritual adversaries. A king who would have eventually gathered all who savingly knew Him into His eternal kingdom where they would reign with Him forever and ever. And they did not seek Him as Lord. A Lord who desired only their good. A Lord who would have instructed them and taught them and counseled them as how to live to the glory of God. A Lord whose commandments are not grievous or constraining, but rather pleasing and liberating. But they did not seek Him as Lord. And they did not seek Him as Savior. A Savior who would have saved them from their sin. A Savior whose salvation would have cleared their sin account and canceled their sin debt and blotted out their sin record. A Savior who would have saved them many a heartache and many a trouble and many a sorrow and many a regret that comes about when the reign of sin in a person's life remains unbroken. But they did not seek Him as prophet, priest, king, Lord and Savior. All they wanted was bread. But that's all he is. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is King. He is Prophet. He is King. And he is Priest. These seekers in John chapter 6 simply sought the Savior as the one who could alleviate their temporal needs, not as someone that who could relieve them of their spiritual needs. And maybe that's your motivation for seeking after the Savior tonight. You seek the gifts, but not the giver. The benefits, but not the benefactor. The Savior, but not the Lord. Eternal life, but not eternal God. You seek the crown, but not the cross. You seek heaven, but not living the Christian life. The true Christian, however, says in the words of Albert B. Simpson's hymn, "Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All and all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything." I wonder what your motive is for seeking the Lord. I trust it's not an unquestionable motive. Like these people, I trust you're seeking him earnestly, genuinely, and sincerely. The Savior, discerning the impure motives of these people, he challenges them with the words, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of God, man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Worldly wealth and honor and riches, pleasures, or meats that perish. But the meat that perisheth not is salvation. Christ and his salvation. Seek that. Seek him. Will you do that tonight? Will you seek for that which endures? Will you seek Christ and the gospel? Oh, how you're to be pitied, sinner. How you're to be pitied if tonight finds you simply chasing after those things that can never endure. Houses and cars and farms and machinery and money and beauty and fashion, pleasure. It's all going to perish. And yet God endures unchanging on. I close with a final comment. The people's inevitable departure. What follows on in John chapter 6 is a lengthy discourse between the Savior and those who he was speaking to on that particular occasion. The discourse lasts from verse 28 through to 58. In verse 60, we now get the response of those who listened to the Savior's words that day. For they turn round and they say to the Savior, "This is a hard saying. Who can bear it?" Unwilling to accept the Savior's teaching, verse 66 then informs us, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They were only disciples by name. They weren't disciples by nature." Their going back indicated that they were never really the children of God. They were simply only disciples by name. Maybe you're going back. Maybe there is a departure from the Lord. I asked you, young man, is your walk with God as it once was? Young woman, are the things of God now wearisome to you where once they were delightsome? Maybe you've drifted away, older person. I don't know. It ought to alarm you. These people walk no more with Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't going to meet them on their terms and just dish out to them what they wanted from him. And to preach a message that would have confirmed them in their sin and unbelief. And sinner, he's not going to do that for you either. The message that he brings to you is always going to be repentance from sin and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When a work of grace is not done in the soul, then it is inevitable that there's going to be a departure from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why to every parent I say that you need to be realistic about your child's profession. Their departure from God, though it is grieving to you, may very well indicate that they never knew him in the first place. It's just all now coming out in the wash. They never really were a child of God. They did not have a new nature or a new heart given. And they've put on the performance, but now they've reached now young adulthood, and they're going out into the world, and they're mixing with the world, and they see the world, and they love the world. And you might very well continue to treat them as one of Christ's sheep, but they're actually a goat. Because those who know Christ walk with Christ. They follow him. They follow him. And so I ask tonight as I close, where are you with respect to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the gospel impacted your life, transformed your life, or are you simply a pretender? Listen, I did it myself. Pretending is draining. It's draining. You'll not be able to keep up the performance forever. The mask will slip, and you'll be found out for who you are, one who never knew Christ. If that's your case tonight and you've come to that realization just even at the close of this meeting, why not get honest with God? Why not get real with him? Why not seek him with a pure motive? I'm seeking him because I need him. I need rescued. I need delivered from my sin. I need to be sure of heaven. And preacher, I'm not. I'm not. But tonight, by the grace of God, I'm going to make sure that I know the Savior and that he knows me. Seeking Christ, but why? May the reason why you seek him is because of your sin. And because his blood and his cross work is able to deal with your sin and reconcile you to God. May we learn from these people. And may there be no seeker like them in this meeting. But may all who seek the Savior, may they find him tonight, as he is offered to you in the gospel. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer, please. I'm not prolonging the meeting, but if I can help you in any way, speak to me. Speak to the Lord. Seek him. You'll find him. You'll find him, sinner. If you seek him with all your heart, don't worry about the people around you. Don't worry about what mom and dad think. Don't worry about what the preacher thinks. Make sure you know Christ. And may God, by his Spirit, work in your heart. If I can help you tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe God will trouble you through the night. I don't know how God will work. If God spares you, you need help, avail yourself of the help. You know where we live. We're here to help you. We love you. We're your friend. For Christ, may God help you to come and seek him tonight. Our loving Father, We come into thy presence. And Lord, how these people, what a performance they put on, seeking after Christ, seeking after thee. And yet, Lord, thou didst pull the mask off and reveal to them their true hearts and the true reason for why they were seeking him. And really, it was only for self-interest and self-comfort and self-ease. It certainly wasn't because they were convicted because of their sin. They didn't sense their sin and their need of a Savior. Oh, may there be none like that tonight in this house. But may the sinner feel full well the weight of sin. May they come to understand, preacher, you've spoken about me, this is me. Here I am, a great pretender. Oh God, work, we pray, save the lost. Take us safely home. We thank thee for every boy, girl, teenager, young person, adult in this house tonight. We're so thankful for this congregation. Bless, we pray. Add to the church as daily such as should be saved. We pray our prayers through the Savior's